In the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 51, a psalm of David, psalm written by the king in a moment of deep despair over sin. So our theme tonight, one of the problems with Lent, is the problem with me. Me. It's a me generation. Actually, every generation is a me generation. We're always selfish in all that we do. We only want what we think is best for us. We might cloak it in something that's good for everyone. But truly, we only have ourselves in mind. What is it you say? It's not a me world, it's a we world. How we should think of things. So Psalm 51, King David in despair, after living in a me world with Bathsheba and all of the problems that resulted from his adultery and murder and deceit, he finally comes to realize the depths of his sin. And so Psalm 51 teaches us what sin is, where it originates, where it comes from, what damage it does, and where there is remedy to it. And so the heart of Holy Scripture is that man is guilty of sin, and he stands condemned, and only God, only the Father Almighty is the one who justifies and saves the sinner, man. So it's important to remember the difference between sin and sins when we look at this. Because we are not sinners because we commit sins. We commit sins because we are sinners. And there is a difference in that. We sin because that's what we're made of. We're made of sin. And so that drives us to commit these sins. And so we don't believe God's declaration that sin separates us from Him, that it keeps us apart from Him, that it drives us out of His presence. But what was Adam's first reaction when he heard the Lord God walking in the garden after he and Eve had eaten the fruit of the tree of knowledge? He ran and he hid. And Eve ran and she hid because they knew they could not stand before the righteous and holy God as sinners. And so sin will crush us in terror. It will crush us in horror until the Father comes to us and says, as he did to Adam, "Where are you?" It's a profound question. You ever thought about it that way? This is the Lord God's first expression of the gospel. Adam, where are you? You're my child. Where have you gone? I want you beside me. It wasn't terror. It wasn't anger. It wasn't judgment. It was a question born out of love. And so only then, only when we realize who we are as sinners, only when we can humbly and honestly and truly say, "I am unacceptable in the eyes of God, I am bound for hell," only then can we hear the word of the Lord and the sweet promise of His gospel. Only when we condemn and accuse ourselves of the sin that we are guilty of do we even have a chance. And so David says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Wash me." And you see all the verbs, they're all active from God's perspective. David does nothing here to claim any stature, any standing before the Lord. Have mercy on me, wash me, purge me, hide your face from my sin, create in me, restore me, deliver me. Because he knows how far he has fallen from the favor of the Lord. Or was he ever in favor? Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. And he can only ask for God's mercy because he knows God is merciful. He doesn't come to the Lord and say, "Okay, God, I've made myself acceptable to you. Now you can have mercy." But he comes bitter, he comes broken, he comes in despair. He comes as a murderer and an adulterer, and he says, "O Lord, have mercy." Because he has no standing. Because he knows he's nothing but sin. And so he comes and he prays that you would wash me from my iniquity, that you would cleanse me from my sin. I know my transgressions. I've sinned against you. And there are those who misunderstand the verse, "In sin did my mother conceive me." They think that David was the product of some adulterous relationship. No, David is saying, "Even from the moment of conception, I'm a sinner, O Lord. I can't even come to you as an unborn child and be right. From that moment, I am separated from you because of sin." And only then, when we have that realization, can we approach the Lord for his goodness and mercy. But we don't like to do that, do we? There's always something we can do. There's always something that we can make ourselves right. There's always some way we can slap a coat of paint on and make it look like we're good people. If I just make myself acceptable, then God will hear me. It doesn't work that way. Never work that way. We are impure. We are sinners. Yet God offers forgiveness. The Lord God sends his Christ. He wraps the flesh of Jesus around this one, his son, and sends him to us. And says, "This one, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, this one will make you right. This one will make you acceptable. This one will call you near to me." And that's where you go. The revealed God, the revealed Christ. Faith grasps the crucified God. And it isn't even your own faith. How did you come to faith? Nothing you did. Because the sinner flees the Lord. He creates the faith in you. He gives the faith to you. He gives you the utterance to say, "God, have mercy." And so he does. And that faith that he gives grasps Christ. That faith that he gives trusts his word, his performative and living word. "I baptize you, the body of Christ, for you, for the forgiveness of your sins." God's promises are performative utterances. They bring about the reality they speak. And so he creates faith in you and makes you his own. And then he gives you, Luther says, the hyssop. "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean." Luther says the hyssop comes in six ways. The mouth of the man who speaks the gospel. And it comes in the teaching of the gospel. The blood of Christ sprinkled through the spoken word of God. And it comes in baptism. And it comes in the supper. And it comes in the absolution, in the stead and by the command. And it comes in the use of the office of the keys, the declaration of forgiveness. All of this the Lord does in many ways to bring you his gift of his forgiveness. And in view of that, and seeing all of these ways that the Lord comes to you and seeks you out in the midst of your sin, even when you stand up and say, it's all about me, no, it isn't, not at all. In the midst of that, he comes to you and says, for you. And only when you set yourself aside and see the Lord for who he is in Christ, do you receive that forgiveness. For only when you're broken and at wit's end do you realize that it's only in the Lord that you have life and forgiveness and salvation. And he picks you up and he dresses you in his cloak and he puts his righteousness on you and he calls you his own. And then you're able to say, then I will teach transgressors your ways. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. All of it, the work of the Lord who loves you, the Lord who, in spite of your self-centeredness and your wanting to be the one in charge, in spite of all of that, he says, you are mine. I have called you. I have washed you. I have dressed you. I've made a place for you in Christ. Amen.